Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time. By the grace of God, we thank the Lord for 19 years we have been bringing these broadcasts to you. And we praise the Lord for this radio station, for all the support, the prayers, and most of all for you, the listener. And we thank you for those of you who have been with us for many years. If this is your first time today, your first time to listen to this broadcast, we invite you to come back each and every Sunday and make this a regular stop on your Sunday worship schedule. Today we're going to be talking about part three in our series on the role of government, and not only the role of government, but what is our role as citizens in this nation, the United States of America, and also in Kenya. We see the same things here in Kenya. And so this is going to be a great message today, especially considering all the things happening in our nation, all the turmoil, chaos, and things that are not right, things that need to be corrected. And so we'll take up this message. Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Before we get into the message for today, I want to just give you a brief update. What's going on here in Kenya? We've got a big project going at the church. We're replacing the windows, upgrading the windows. When we built the church, the windows, we didn't put in the windows to accommodate the kind of crowds we're having today. We're having capacity crowds just about every Sunday, and so we're making the windows bigger, more airflow, a cooler environment, and we're in the hot, dry season right now in Kenya. It lasts for about a month, and then the mid-March, we'll be planting long-range season, which is rainy season that goes till about mid-June or July. And so we're in the process of digging the land. We work the ground with oxen. We work the ground with tractors. We also work the ground with hand jimbes or hand hoes, and so we'll be ready to plant in March when the rains start to come back again. The children are all in school, and we thank the Lord for that. We placed a disabled girl, a young girl named Angel, 12 years old. We placed her in a school for the disabled this week. And so we have only two children now at the children's home during the day. They're both two-year-olds, and so the rest of them are in schools, public schools, some in boarding schools, some in private school or disabled schools, private schools. And so we have everybody except these two-year-olds in school in the Living Water Children's Home. Well, today we're going to be talking about the role of government. This will be the last in a series on the role of government, and this has been put on my heart because of what you see going on, primarily what you see going on at the southern border, all the chaos and the confusion. And some people are saying, yes, yes, let them come in. We need more construction workers. We need more farm workers. We need more citizens in this U.S. Because of the low birth rate. Others are saying, no, this isn't the right way to do it, to let people just come into your country illegally, to let people come in and you don't know who they are. They haven't been properly vetted. They haven't been properly invited. And so we have legal means of immigration, and we also have illegal means of immigration, which is what you see going on right now. And it's leading to a lot of chaos. And my personal opinion is that this is not going to be a good thing. It's going to be big, big problems for us in the future. Yes, most of the people probably will become law-abiding citizens, but many of them are already criminals, and they're coming out of jails and prisons in Central America, South America, and we also have terrorists coming in from countries around the world, Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Iraq and Iran, and we have Chinese nationals coming in. What are they doing here? And so it's going to be big problems in the future. You're going to see terrorist cells springing up into action in the future. And so we need to pray for this country for wisdom, and we need to deal with the problem in a most urgent manner. We need to deal with this problem right now. And so pray about it, how we can deal with it. Give wisdom to our leaders so that this problem will not continue to escalate, and it will dissipate. Actually, there are ways that we can get it to dissipate, and it will not be a problem for the U.S. in the future. Well, in Joshua chapter 5, verse 13, just to set the scene here, Joshua is getting ready to lead the children of Israel into the promised land, and they have been given the land to go in and possess, and it is the land of Canaan. There's a lot of tribes there that are pagan tribes. They worship Baals and they worship false gods, pagan gods. And so Joshua is getting ready to lead this nation in. It's a big nation, 600,000 men, and then all the women, children, livestock. And so it's like a nation on the move, a nation on the march. And just before Joshua gets ready to go in, it says in verse 13, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, 'Are you for us or for our adversaries?'" And you can imagine Joshua had a lot of apprehension as he was getting ready to go into the promised land. He had no idea what all was going to be waiting for them in there. There was a lot of early reports, scouting reports of big giants in the land, and he knew that the giants were there. And so he has apprehension, he has anxiety, as any commander would before a big battle. And he doesn't know for sure when this man appears before him, standing opposite of him. He doesn't know for sure if this man is for him or for his adversaries. And so the man opposite him said, "No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" And so this is obviously the Lord Jesus Christ. He has appeared to Joshua before Joshua takes the children of Israel in. And so he has a very expressed purpose, a very specific purpose for appearing before Joshua. And he says to Joshua, "No, but as commander of the Lord's army, I have come." And so Jesus Christ is this person. This is a pre-incarnate Jesus who has appeared. This happens many times in the Old Testament. The pre-incarnate Jesus Christ appeared to people to give them counsel, to give them wisdom, sometimes to direct them. And so Jesus is appearing to Joshua, and he said, "As commander of the Lord's army," in other words, "I have the angels of the Lord under my command, and I have now come to give you instruction." And then the commander of the Lord's army, verse 15, said to Joshua, "Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did so. Well, that is the end of that encounter with Jesus right there. But it's a very powerful passage of scripture. It's a very powerful encounter that Joshua has with pre-incarnate Jesus, the angel of the Lord. Why did Jesus appear to him? And when Jesus answered that question, "Are you for us or are you for our adversaries?" And Jesus said, "No, I'm here because I am the commander of the Lord's army." Well, what does that have to do with us? We have a challenge in this nation. We have a challenge going on before this nation, and we think that God is going to help us. We think that God is going to be for us. We think the angels of the Lord are going to fight our battle for us. But beloved, Jesus is standing before us right now. He's standing before us and our commanders, and he's saying, "No, I'm here as commander of the Lord's army, of the angel armies, and I'm not for you and I'm not for your adversaries. Jesus said, I'm not taking sides. I'm taking the side of God in this battle. And beloved, we need to wake up in the United States of America. We need to understand that God is not for us just because we have printed on our money "In God We Trust." God is not for us simply because many of our founding documents reference the Creator, reference Almighty God, or reference the Ten Commandments or whatever. God is not for us just because of that. We need to stand on the Scripture. We need to stand on God's Word. We need to stand on our faith in God this day and not depend on what happened 200 years ago, not depend on what happened 250 years ago. We need to stand on the Scripture and understand that Jesus is not going to fight our battle for us, and the Lord's armies are not going to fight our battles for us if we don't have any relationship with God, if we don't have any relationship with God Almighty and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Beloved, they're going to be for our adversaries. God can use our adversaries to take this nation down, to humble this nation, to put the people of this nation on their knees. He can and he will do that, and he will use the worst of the people on the earth to bring judgment on America. That's what you're seeing happen. Because we have forsaken God, we have forsaken prayer in many, many places. We have forsaken the Ten Commandments in many, many places. We've forsaken the time devoted to God. No longer is Sunday a day of worship. It's a day for sports, and it's a day for watching sports. So we have come to the place in America now where God is bringing judgment on this nation, and he's saying, Americans, wake up. I'm going to put you on your knees, and I'm going to shake you, and I'm going to bring judgment upon you through people that are coming into this nation from all over the world, and they're going to shake this nation. They're going to put this nation on their knees so that the people will be crying out to me. And if you don't believe that's going to happen, listen to this message, write down the main points of it, and then check in about 5 years and see what's going on in the United States of America, or check in 10 years. If Jesus has not come back, check and see what's going on in the United States of America. And beloved, I can tell you that God used the worst of the people, the most dreadful of the enemies of the nation of Israel, to bring judgment on the nation of Israel. He told them, he warned them through the prophets, if you don't get right with the Lord, if you don't seek my face, if you don't get right with the Lord, I'm going to bring your enemies in. They're going to dismantle your comfortable society. They're going to dismantle your comfortable way of life, and they're going to take you off, and they're going to cart off your people into captivity. And Lord sent Jeremiah to speak that message. He sent Ezekiel to speak that message. And beloved, that is what's going to happen here with America. God is going to turn this nation over to our enemies if we don't get right with the Lord, if we don't cry out to the Lord, if we don't seek the Lord for the solutions and seek the Lord in his wisdom for the solutions to the problems of this nation. He's going to put this nation on its knees, and there will be enemies taking over the United States of America. Beloved, I don't like to preach this message. It's not a very pleasant message to hear, but it is going to happen, and you can see the handwriting on the wall. You can see what's going to happen with America if we don't turn from our wicked ways and turn back to the Lord and seek him and seek his face in every situation. So what is the solution to the problems that we have in America, whether it's the border issue or outside enemies like China and Russia and Iran pursuing America? What is the solution? Well, beloved, it's in God's Word. The solution to every problem that America has is in God's Word. And so of all the scriptures in the Bible, there are many, many, and we're not going to look at all of them. But the scripture that the Lord highlighted for me, you've all heard it many times, and it is a scripture from 2 Chronicles chapter 7:14. This is a story of Solomon as he's preparing to lead the nation of Israel, in the same way that Joshua was ready to lead the nation of Israel into the promised land. Now we have hundreds of years later, or we have Solomon also. He is now the king of Israel. He's taken over from his father, King David. And so he is crying out to the Lord. He's seeking the Lord's face. And he is asking the Lord. And we're going to talk about prayer. We're going to talk about the different aspects of this. But this is the Lord's answer to Solomon after Solomon has spoken this eloquent prayer. When they're dedicating the temple, getting ready to dedicate the temple, says that the Lord speaks to Solomon, 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land." Well, there's four things there that God says we need to do in order to hear from God and to have our land healed. There's four things that we need to do that God spoke to Solomon. We need to humble ourselves. And beloved, also, this is just for the people of God. We can't expect the pagans to somehow come up with the solutions for the United States of America. The pagans don't have the wisdom. Yes, the Lord reigns on the righteous and the unrighteous. They get rain on their crops, they get sunshine on their crops. But the Lord gives wisdom to his people. He gives wisdom to people because we trust the Lord for his wisdom, for his counsel. We trust the Lord to lead us in paths of righteousness. We trust the Lord to take us into the valley of shadow of death and lead us out of that place, which is where we are now. We have lots and lots of enemies trying to take down the U.S. Many of them could probably take down the U.S. if they were pushed to do it right now. And so this is for the people of God. This is for us. Beloved, if you're listening to me today, we are the solution. We are the solution to the problems. We are the solution to all the issues going on in America, because God is going to give us the counsel and the wisdom to do the right thing. And so he says we need to humble ourselves, and we need to pray, and we need to seek his face, and we need to turn from our wicked ways. Those four things: humble ourselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from our wicked ways. Well, to humble ourselves, 1 Peter 5, verse 5, "God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Beloved, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. When you get on your knees and you pray to God for the leaders of this nation, or over the radio like we just did at the start of this broadcast, when you humble yourself, get on your knees, humble yourself in your private life, in the churches, when you meet as believers, humble yourself before God. It says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And that's a good scripture, not only for this nation, not only for the churches, the people that go to church, but also in your private life. Humble yourself before God, and he will exalt you. He will raise you up. He will put you in a place of authority. He will give you authority. We've already been given authority. We need to act it out. We need to act on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give praise to God when good things happen in this nation. And so that's the first thing. Prepare yourself for prayer by humbling yourself before the Lord. And then secondly, we need to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. When you're going down the road and you don't have anything else going on, turn your radio off, turn your phone off, and listen to the Lord, speak to the Lord, pray without ceasing. When you gather together in the churches, pray, cry out for this nation. We have a great thing here in Africa. the all-night caches. I've been to many of them, led many of them in Nairobi back in 2013 at the universities. But we have all-night prayer meetings in Kenya that are very powerful, and I believe that has had a great, great impact on the direction of this nation, because when people pray, when people cry out to the Lord, God hears, and He answers their prayer. As Solomon was praying to God, 2 Chronicles 6, verse 19, "Yet regard the prayer of your servant," this is Solomon speaking to the Lord, "Yet regard the prayer of your servant and his supplication, O Lord my God, and listen to the cry and the prayer which your servant is praying before you, that your eyes may be open toward the temple," or we could say open toward this nation, the United States of America, toward this temple, day and night, toward the place where you said you would put your name, that you may hear the prayer which your servant makes towards this place. And if you have time today, read 2 Chronicles chapter 6, 2 Chronicles chapter 7. It's a very eloquent and powerful prayer that Solomon prayed. Beloved, we need to do that. We need to cry out to the Lord. We need to pray powerful prayers and expect the Lord then to answer our prayers. Maybe God will put it on your heart to run for office, run for the city council, run for state office, representative, senator, maybe run for senator of the United States. I don't know what God is going to put on your heart. But the men and women in the United States Senate are just like you and me. They came out of many walks of life in America. They need wisdom. We need to pray for them. They need wisdom at this time and this hour. And it's critical that we pray for them, that we stand in the gap for them to do the right thing and to listen to the Lord for wisdom and counsel in the decisions that they have to make. We need to pray before we vote for a president. We need to get on our knees and ask the Lord, Lord, who do you want leading this great country? Who do you want that can turn this country around, that can lead us with good policies, good decisions? Then number three of the prayer that Solomon prayed, we need to turn from our wicked ways. We need to repent. There's so many wicked things going on here in America. I can't even start to list them all. Won't even try. Probably number one on the list is abortion. We had a great turnaround with the Supreme Court decision a year ago, but we still have states' rights and states that can authorize and legalize abortion. So we need to try to do everything we can to stop abortion. There's all kinds of sexual perversion and immorality going on in marriage and in the institution of marriage. We need to try to stop that as much as we can. And other ways where there's all kinds of perversion and immorality and deceit and wickedness, we need to stop borrowing so much money. That is death for any nation. It's death here in Kenya. Kenya, we are in tremendous debt in January of this year. 98% of the tax revenue was spent to retire debt or spent on debt repayment. 98%. Now, how long can a country sustain that kind of activity and still have a country left? It's the same in America. We're going to be spending $1 trillion a year on debt repayment. And it's going to eat up our children's prosperity, our grandchildren's prosperity. It is not sustainable. We need to stop it. And then last but not least, we need to seek God's face, seek His face. Psalm 25, verse 1, King David said, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me." Beloved, we need to seek the face of the Lord. Seek Him in prayer, seek Him in fasting, seek Him in thanksgiving, seek Him in praise, and join together, join hands and hearts together with other believers, crying out for solutions to the problem. Government is us. We have met the problem, and we are it. And so we need to cry out for wisdom that we can turn the problems of this nation around. God will hear our prayer when we seek Him, seek His face. God says, "I will hear from heaven I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Well, praise God for that. We need our land healed. We need God to hear from us when we cry out to him. And when we do these four things, humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, God says, I will hear from heaven. I will hear from heaven. I will forgive your sin, and I will heal your land. Well, beloved, we have a big mountain in front of us as the United States of America. We have a big mountain here in Kenya. It's the same situation here. Lots and lots of problems here. Very few solutions, but lots of problems, lots of big mountains in front of the people of Kenya. And so we need to pray here in Kenya as well. And I thank God for this radio broadcast that we can encourage you and get you thinking, get you praying, get you moving in regards to the problems of this great nation. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We praise God for that. We thank the Lord for all the many years that we have been on the air, and we invite you to support this ministry. Sit down today. Write us out a note. Let us know you're listening. Include prayer requests if you have them. Include a check of support if you would. Keep these radio broadcasts coming. Keep this ministry going in Africa. We appreciate your support if you've contributed in the past. And we'd love to hear from you today. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast.